This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Two movie theater souvenir cups. We're sitting next to a shallow grave in the Arizona desert, the kind you buy at a concession stand on a first date because the large drink comes in a collectible cup and you figure you'll keep it on your nightstand for a week. Who hasn't done that and then ends up with a collection of movie theater cups that at some point you're like, why do we have all these cups? No, unfortunately, our conversation on this case isn't about movie theater cops. It's about a dead woman. And I invite you to leave your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we begin following the murder of Adriana Jones. Cadaver dogs led investigators to a remote stretch of scrubland north of Phoenix near Lake Pleasant on July 11th of 2026. What they found was a body buried in a shallow hole in the dirt, decomposing in the July heat, and those two souvenir cups resting in the sand like they'd been set down at a picnic. Adriana Bailey Jones was 21 years old. She was a mother. She had a 2-year-old son. She'd gone to the movies with a man she met on Snapchat. She never came home. But investigators would discover that Dominic Rotoloco's evening didn't start at Adriana's apartment. It started somewhere else entirely. And what he allegedly did before he ever picked her up is what turns this from a bad date into something much, much worse. Adriana Bailey Jones spent the first 18 years of her life looking for something most people take for granted. She was adopted at 3 years old. She moved between homes. She bounced through a system that's supposed to protect children and instead just kept shuffling her from one place to the next. When she was 18, she reconnected with her biological mother, Sophia Sardinas, 3 years. That's how long Adriana had with the mother she'd been separated from as a toddler. 3 years of building what they'd missed. 3 years of holidays and phone calls and the ordinary moments that families accumulate without thinking about it because they assume they'll get more. Sardinas would later tell reporters that her daughter wanted one thing for her future, a family. That's all she wanted. And she was building one. She had her own apartment in Glendale, Arizona. She had a dog. She had a 2-year-old son. She was 21, and she was doing the thing she'd spent her whole childhood hoping for. And on the evening of July 5th, 2026, Adriana agreed to meet someone she'd been talking to on social media, a man named Dominic Rotoloco, 24 years old, from Peoria. They connected on Snapchat, exchanged a few brief phone calls, and made plans to see a movie together, a first date. Rotoloco picked Adriana up from her apartment. They drove to Hawkins Theater and went to a movie around 9 p.m. Surveillance cameras inside the theater captured the two of them together. Nothing remarkable, two people on a date. When they left, cameras caught Rotoloco carrying a concession stand cup. You know what I'm talking about. Ones that you're like, yeah, we've been trying to get rid of those for a long time. But every time you go to the trash can and go, I'm going to throw this away. You're like, but it's such a convenient cup. Or maybe that's me. And maybe I have a hoarding problem. Then cell phone data picks up the story. Both phones travel north out of the Phoenix metro area into a remote, undeveloped stretch of desert near Lake Pleasant Parkway. And old carefree highway. According to the probable cause affidavit, investigators describe this area as extremely remote, secluded, underdeveloped, with no apparent legitimate reason for anyone to be there. Both phones stay in that area for roughly 45 to 50 minutes, and then Adriana's phone disconnects from the network, powered off, airplane mode, or otherwise gone 10 minutes after her phone goes dark. Rodolico's phone leaves the area. Alone. He doesn't call 911, doesn't contact police, doesn't tell anyone what happened in that desert, per the affidavit. The next thing investigators observed Rotoloco doing was cleaning his car. He drove to a nearby car wash, vacuumed the passenger side rear area of the vehicle, wiped it down with towels, kept the towels inside the vehicle. Back at his house, he opened the trunk and was observed wiping down the interior. 2 days passed, July 7th. A relative calls Glendale police because nobody's heard from Adriana since July 5th. Officers go to her apartment. They find her dog in a kennel with no food and no water, alone for days. A friend tells police that Adriana had plans to meet someone she'd been talking to for a movie that evening. And that's the last anyone knew. Sophia Sardinas spent that week doing what any mother would do. She searched. She handed out flyers around the neighborhood. She held on to the hope that this was just a missing person case and that her daughter was somewhere alive, waiting to be found. Glendale PD posted photos of Adriana and asked the public to come forward with anything they knew. Behind-the-scenes investigators were already moving. Surveillance footage, cell phone records, automated license plate reader data. They identified Rodolico as the person Adriana was with on July 5th within days. They placed him under mobile and stationary surveillance. They tracked his phone. They tracked his car. And what they found in the data is the thing that makes this case different from a tragedy that could have been an accident. A fight that went wrong, a moment that spiraled, because this wasn't that. Less than a year before the date, Dominic Scott Glenn Rodolico was sentenced in Maricopa County for impersonating an employee at a Quick Trip gas station and stealing roughly $200,000 or $200 from the register. He allegedly did the same thing at a second Quick Trip in Phoenix. He pled guilty to criminal impersonation, was sentenced in November of 25, and was placed on 2 years of supervised probation. The court had a word for Dominic Rodolico at that sentencing. The word was non-dangerous. That's in the court documents. Non-dangerous. No further mental health screening recommended. Substance treatment mentioned, but not mandated. He walked out on probation. Court records also show that his father, stepfather, and brother all have criminal histories. Rodolico reported witnessing domestic violence as a child and using marijuana, cocaine, and mushrooms as a teenager. A forensic psychologist who reviewed the records told reporters that a history of criminal activity combined with family members who've engaged in criminal activity can narrow the gap between lesser offenses and violent crime. The gap in Rodolico's case was about 8 months. He was on active probation when he picked up Adriana for the movies. Investigators pulled his cell data, and it didn't show where Rodolico went after the movie. It showed where he went before. On July 5th, before Rodolico ever arrived at Adriana's apartment, his phone traveled to the same remote desert location near Lake Pleasant, where her body would later be found. Not once, according to the affidavit, an investigator's cell phone and analysis, he visited that area multiple times that day, including one stop where he lingered for 25 minutes. He was out in an extremely remote, secluded stretch of desert with no legitimate reason to be there hours before he'd pick her up for the movies and eventually take her there. Why? Why is he going out there beforehand? When investigators found Adriana's body on July 11th, they found the evidence of what those trips were for. Concrete bags, concrete mix, latex gloves, Fry's brand plastic water bottles, the equipment you'd bring if you were preparing to bury someone. The affidavit doesn't dance around it. It says the evidence at the scene showed premeditation, citing the amount of equipment, including concrete bags and mix, and the forethought that went into the burial. It calls the incident well-planned. Those aren't my words. That's the affidavit. The prosecutor at Rodolico's first court appearance, Brooke Gaunt from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, called it a very premeditated and horrific homicide. He told the court that the evidence showed Rodolico went to the location where the body was found at least twice before Adriana's death. He allegedly dug the grave before the movie started. Then he drove to her apartment, picked her up, bought her a souvenir cup, sat next to her in the dark theater, and drove her to the place he had already prepared. The court classified him as non-dangerous. Right, because anybody who has the thought process of, let me dress up like the Quick Trip employee so I can go steal from the register, clearly not dangerous. I got news for you. Anybody who's doing shit like that, potentially dangerous. Potentially dangerous. When Rodolico was arrested on July 11th and questioned by detectives, he told them a story. He said he was in the backseat of his car with another woman in a parking lot when two masked men, here's the genius story. Two masked men covered in tattoos approached with a knife and a gun. He said they attacked both of them. One cut his hand with a knife. The other went after the woman. He said he was able to drive away when the two men kept going. So you're on a date, somebody takes the girl you're with, and you don't call 911, you're just like, she'll make it home. I'll check on her later. You don't call 911, you don't report the alleged attack to anyone except to your own family. The Glendale police spokesperson Jose Santiago told reporters what happened next in the interrogation room. Rodolico's story continuously changed. The attack became a little less dramatic, then less dramatic, then different entirely. He told investigators the woman was probably not alive after what happened. Still didn't explain why he never called for help. Then he admitted his story wasn't true. His next version, an unknown man instructed him to bring Adrienne into the desert, but he didn't know the man was going to harm her. Just a strange man. Bring me your date in the desert. What could possibly go wrong with a strange man asking for your date in the desert? When asked how any communication with this unknown man occurred, Rodolico couldn't provide an explanation. He also admitted going to the desert location before picking up Adriana was, in fact, something that was there. Per the affidavit, Rodolico didn't appear to show any remorse for his actions. Investigators wrote that he seemed to believe this was just a missing persons case where he happened to be the last person to see the woman alive. When asked directly whether he killed Adriana Jones, Dominic Rodolico hesitated. He looked down and said no. Get all these stories of that are continually changing of why I went to the desert with her. But that wasn't me. It's like when you're doing crazy shit like dressing up like the Quick Trip employee to steal money from the register, we got to take crimes like that more seriously and not just a slap on the wrist, because that's a warning sign, kids. That's a warning sign. People that are doing that shit are far more capable than just this if left to their own means. And if we just slap them on the wrist and go, oh, that was bad, don't do that again, and they're going to go find other shit. They got away with that. That's the new bar. I got away with that. What else can I do? And it just gets worse. They were all shocked. I can't believe they reoffended. The grave told a different story. A shallow hole in the desert north of Phoenix near a highway interchange where nobody goes and nobody would look. Inside, decomposing human remains, scraps of denim, a bra, pieces of a condom wrapper. A hair accessory matching what Adriana was wearing on the surveillance footage from the theater that night. The two Harkin souvenir cups, the concrete bags and mix, the latex gloves, the water bottles. And on one of those concrete bags, investigators noted what appeared to be a red-like substance with an eyelash strip attached to it. A tattoo on the body matched a tattoo Adriana had. The Maricopa County Medical Examiner's Office identified the remains. The official cause and manner of death were still being finalized. Dominic Rodolico is charged with first-degree premeditated murder and abandonment or concealment of a dead body. He's being held on $2 million cash-only bond. He remains in custody, and he denies all involvement. No trial date has been set yet. Adriana's mother, Sophia Sardinas, shared a petition calling for the death penalty. She wrote that she does believe in second chances, but the way he allegedly murdered her daughter And the fact that he took Adriana away from her 2-year-old son means he shouldn't be allowed to live. I happen to agree. A woman named Castilla Holman, who said she shared mutual friends with Adriana, started the petition. She wrote something that explains exactly why this case has landed the way it has. She said that if she'd swiped right and gone out with him, it could have been her. But really, it could have been any one of us women, she said. It could have been your own daughter or friend. That's the nerve, because Adriana Jones didn't do anything wrong. She did what millions of people do. She talked to someone online. She agreed to meet him. She went to a movie. She did the ordinary, unremarkable thing that women do every single day and hope will turn into something good. And according to investigators, the man sitting next to her in that theater had already dug her grave. Adriana Bailey Jones spent 18 years looking for a family. She found one. She had a mother who came back into her life and loved her. A son who needed her. She was 21. And now a 2-year-old boy is growing up without his mother because of what the prosecution alleged happened in that desert north of Phoenix on a July night that was supposed to be a first date. Had a lot of people asking us to start covering this story, so here we are. Give me your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. I'd love for you to weigh in. And if you want to take us with you on the go, wherever you get podcasts, check out the QR code right there. Scan it with your phone if you're able to, if you're not on it right now. Or just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi wherever you get podcasts, whatever your podcast platform of choice is, and press subscribe. The QR code there will take you to a link tree that will go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever you use. It's on that list. And then you can take us with you anywhere you go. We do appreciate that. And you can get the audio version of our program. And there's even more content over there, too. There's different stuff on the audio versus YouTube. So if you like what we're doing here, go check us out there as well. We do greatly appreciate that. We'll keep our eyes on this story, without a doubt. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.